Glad you're with us. Michael Levy was just saying one of the most asked questions he gets is about mortgages. I think it's a very interesting environment, a difficult environment there. Peter Kinch is a leader of the Dominion Lending Services and joins me now. Peter, been involved in the mortgage business for a long, long time. This volatility has got to be the most unusual thing you've seen in terms of other indicators, not necessarily the rates right this second, but other indicators, the big debate. Are they going up? Can the Bank of Canada hold rates low? I mean, there's just a lot of stuff on the plate in the last couple of years.
Yeah, very boring time to be a mortgage broker for sure.
Well, I bet I was thinking, what a great business. I'm going to go and attend the Canadian Association of Mortgage Professionals later on this month, as I think you are in Toronto.
Yeah, and I will be talking on a panel together.
Yeah, I just think, though, what a great business to be in. I said, there's no shortage of... no shortage of people coming to you right now, I would bet.
No, and it's interesting. I appreciate Michael Levy's segue into talking about the most common questions he gets is mortgage rates. Interestingly enough, I think one of the most key components of mortgages today is actually everything you guys were just talking about, which is the Canadian dollar.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to know, I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had a crystal ball and we could figure out exactly where rates are going and we could predict it? I mean, that would be wonderful. But I will tell you, and maybe we'll try our best stab at having a crystal ball today. The biggest indicator to me, the biggest thing I'm watching, is this Canadian dollar. I see it as a double-edged sword. You know, obviously there's some people who are really up, it causes enormous grief in some circles of our economy with a high Canadian dollar, but for homeowners and people who are worrying about interest rates, a high Canadian dollar is actually a friend to you.
Yeah, well, obviously, because the Bank of Canada is very nervous about raising rates, attracting more capital, pushing the dollar up further, hurting exports further.
Yeah, absolutely. Where it's hurting on one hand, it's forcing Mark Carney to provide added incentive to keep the prime rate low. And I do emphasize prime rate because, and this is something that the listeners and Canadians need to remember, that when they're listening to Mark Carney and the Bank of Canada come out with their normal announcements, and they say, well, the Bank of Canada is not making any change to rates for a while, it confuses people because the Royal Bank comes out a week later and raises the five-year rate.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's in the bond market, and that's what determines, and that's investors' attitude toward what rates are going to do. They want to get compensated for the risk of inflation, and I would think that's still the greatest risk to people on a variable rate mortgage now is whether we hit an inflationary period, you know, 6 months, 6 years from now. At that point, you've got to see rates come up.
Well, let's give everybody a chance to have a crystal ball here. And if you're listening to this, write this down. Write down 2%, because that's the inflation target that Mark Carney's looking to keep the Canadian inflation rate at. So here's the risk, Michael, of oversimplifying the equation. We can basically say that as long as the inflation rate is below 2%, the Bank of Canada will keep rates low. But the second inflation goes above 2%, they will shift their attention from stimulating the economy, because that's what they're doing now. They're stimulating the economy, and that's why they got to get that inflation up to 2%. But as second it hits 2% and goes beyond 2%, now they shift from stimulation to inflation, and they'll raise rates to keep control of that. So that's probably the only thing that people, if you're just generally looking at how can I predict where things are going, that's probably your best target to look at.
Just very quickly, Peter, when people come into you, I mean, one of the big questions is obviously a variable rate mortgage has been very attractive over the last several years, very attractive today. And again, it depends on what your, you know, in the credit crunch, it was prime plus, but before the credit crunch, it was prime minus, maybe as much as 3/4 and so a very different variable rate. So we're talking generally right now. What worries me about the question, should I lock in at this point, is that it seems that there's a lot of other factors besides what you think interest rates are doing. I'm thinking, if you can't afford a 2% jump in your variable rate mortgage, well, you don't have a choice, but you better lock in. And I just want people to put it in the right personal financial context.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. In fact, I'm going to take that further, and I would tell everybody, and I say that every single person I talk to today, price in a 3% increase in your variable rate between now and 36 months from now. And if that prospect of paying 3% more scares you, well, then, goodness sakes, take a five-year rate today.
Yeah,
or
I think
you know, why five? Take a 6 or 7 or 10 year rate.
Yeah, and I think that's really key because I watched the wrong psychology in operation. I see this in the stock market all the time where people just want to scalp that last nickel out, you know.
Yeah.
And that creates inaction. Well, we're talking about your house. I mean, and I might add, if it was an investment property, boy, I'd be telling people definitely to lock in if you can't afford that, because this is supposed to be an investment in real estate, not an investment or a prediction on interest rates.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Why businesses remove that risk. I'm not in the interest rate business, or you know, if I want to do that, I'll speculate in the futures market. You know, so
well,
I just think it's important we get in the context here.
Yeah, and especially if you're buying real estate for investment purposes, quite often the main focal point for investors is cash flow. They want cash flow.
Yeah.
And I get scared, Michael, when I hear somebody say, well, you know, yeah, I can get prime minus 0.2, and that gives me a little bit of positive cash flow today.
Yeah.
And
so, and you're absolutely right, because you're just a smidgen away from being on the wrong side of that ledger.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's where, you know, it is a case-by-case scenario.
Yeah.
I would say if somebody's currently in a mortgage and you were fortunate enough to get one of those prime minus 0.9% rates, and, you know, I hear people say, yeah, my interest rate is 1.35%, well, which is true, because you had 2.25 for prime, and if you got a mortgage that was prime minus 90, you know, 2 years ago, that's fantastic. I wouldn't say to that individual, hey, get rid of that 1.35 and lock it in at, you know, 4 point something today. If you're in that, the differential there is significant enough that take the advantage of the low interest rate, but you know that's not going to last. In fact, you probably only have 2 to 3 years left on it, and you know that when you renew, you're going to be renewing at significantly higher rates. So if anybody's sitting in a low interest rate environment today, I would really, really strongly suggest you take advantage of that virtually free money and reduce principal.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think the key there is when people take advantage, you know, as you say, I mean, a friend of mine who's probably listening right now is at about prime minus 3/4.
Yeah.
And, you know, the key there is pay off the damn thing. Another young man I know who just keeps on, I don't know, missing the boat on locking in a 5-year rate, and he doesn't have a great variable. It's one of the worst ones, you know.
Yeah, prime plus.
Prime plus 3/4 or something. But my point is, he's trying to be too right. But I said to him, why don't you take in a student? You don't have kids yet. You know, take in a student while you can. You know, do two things, provide a great environment for them, and take in some extra cash. The key is really, in the end, not being in the debt. That's really what I'm saying to them.
Yeah, and you know, if you can look ahead and you say, well, I know interest rates are going to go up, but when my interest rate goes up, I'll be renewing with a lower principal balance. It's really, you know, and we go back. You remember the days when we had 12% interest rate and more, house prices were lower. You know, some would argue that, you know, the reason we can afford these $500,000 mortgages today is because of the low interest rates. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to your monthly payment, right?
Yeah.
So can you handle that monthly payment?
And can you handle it if it goes up? Then if you can't, it's got to lock in.
Right, but if you take advantage of this environment to reduce debt.
Principal, yeah, or your debt, I mean. Yeah.
You know, reduce your principal now, then when the time comes to renew it, you might be renewing with a lower principal balance and keep the payment at the same
That's a great point. Let me just throw this out quickly to you, Peter, and that is if you are on a locked-in mortgage, you know, a fixed mortgage now, you've got 3 years left on your 5-year, you know, some scenario like that,
mm-hmm.
What about blend and extend?
You know,
what does it mean, and is it out there?
Absolutely. Every bank will blend and extend, and what that means for some people who aren't clear, it means that you continue to make your payments on your existing. Let's say you have a 5-year mortgage at 5.35, and you've got 2 years left on that. Well, the bank's going to say, well, basically you're contractually obligated to pay us 2 years at 5.35, but if you want to extend us out another 5 years, and you could even top it up with new money if you needed to. But let's say you just keep the principal balance the same, but you want to extend it out another 5 years. We'll give you that new 5-year money at a lower interest rate, let's say 4.25. So what you do is you basically take those two rates and blend them together, so it might blend out at 4.85 or something like that, and then your new 5-year mortgage is at 4.85. So essentially, you haven't broken your contract with the 2 years remaining.
But you got advantage of today's rate also.
Yeah. Now, having said that, we are in a unique environment right now, Michael, with the differential between where some people, the rates are all over the place. If you talk to people, some are, you know, somebody said they got, you know, 2 years left on a 6% mortgage. And, you know, when, depending on the differential between what you can get today and what you're paying today, it just makes sense. It's impossible to say, well, here's the best thing to do. You need to pay the penalty and refinance it. You need to blend and extend. Everybody's going to be on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, but it just gives you – sorry, Pete, we're going to take a break, but it gives us something to think about. If you got a phone call or a question for Peter Kinch, 1-877-399-9898. Back with Peter Kinch after the news at the bottom of the hour. I'm glad you're with us. Peter Kinch is my guest. Very happy to have Peter back on the show with us. He's with the Dominion Lending Services, a mortgage broker who's been in the business absolute years. I want to go to the phone lines, though. It could be quick here. Time is always short, but let me go. Is it Kathy on the line? Or Keith? I'm sorry, Keith.
Yes, not Kathy. Mike and Peter, I have a I took out a mortgage in 02, 10-year term at 6.6% and then blended and extended down to 6.2 and then did that again down to 5.85. I'm wondering, I haven't been following the rates very closely. Can I do better than that right now? And also the second question, can Peter explain how mortgage brokers get paid? And how that factors into what rate a homeowner gets.
Can I help you with that one, Peter?
Absolutely. Go for it.
They're just like travel agents in the old sense, in that Peter doesn't get paid by the lending institution, so he's not held hostage by any of them. He can shop the marketplace, as people in that profession can, and just literally he's working for you, but by bringing the financial institution or the lender the business, then he gets sort of a referral, but it doesn't matter to him which lender he's dealing with. Is that correct, Peter?
Yeah, you pretty well nailed it. And a real simple way to summarize that, because a lot of people say, well, how is it possible the bank's going to pay you and it's not going to impact my interest rate? It seems too good to be true. Well, think of it in terms of marketing dollars, Keith. Instead of paying money to employees to sit in an office and take your application, do all that work, we're kind of like unpaid employees. They don't have to pay us pension plans and medical and dental. So they take the marketing money out that's out there in the market, pay a percentage of that for us to us directly as referral fees. But because we can bring multiple millions of dollars to that lender every month, as opposed to a one-off individual walking in one at a time, they can give us group volume discounts at the same time.
So now let's talk about the rates out there, as he was saying. What's the best sort of five-year rate you've seen out there, Peter, lately? And again, that'll be depending on how much money I'm putting down. Am I already dealing with a financial institution? There's a lot of other things, but just ballpark it for us.
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into real specifics. Here's the best five-year rate in the marketplace, but let's take a look at Keith's scenario. The one thing I do know, Keith, is that your five-year money is hovering just below or just above 5% right now. Okay, now you've done a blend and extend twice. You're at 5.85. You started your mortgage in 2002. The first question I have for you, when you did your last blend and extend, what term are you currently on?
Well, I'm currently what term?
Ten-year
term from 2004.
Okay, so your mortgage is due for renewal in 2014.
Correct.
Okay, well, that puts you right now. Let's make sure we're comparing apples and apples, because if I compare a 10-year rate today to what you've got left, you've actually only got 5 years left in your mortgage. So you could take today's best five-year rate, which is 4.35, that range.
Yes.
And you compare the remaining 5 years on your current contract and compare paying 4.35 to 5.85, that's a significant difference. So in your case, what I would recommend is go to your lender and say, hey, if I were to pay this out or switch this and renew it into a five-year rate today, A, what penalty would you charge me, and B, what rate would you give me, and could you give me any deal on the penalty if I kept the mortgage with you? And if they say, no, you're paying the full penalty, then you could talk to a mortgage broker, someone like myself, and we could shop the market to say, okay, well, here's the best thing you're going to get in the marketplace, but you're going to have to pay that penalty. And then we have to do the math to find out if after paying the penalty, does it make sense to save over what, almost virtually 1.5% interest over the next 5 years.
Yeah, first thing to check out is there a penalty for you at all, Keith, getting out at this point, paying off your mortgage, and then refinancing for 5 years? As you say, if Peter says, go to a mortgage broker if you're not getting a good answer on that, because it will be math in the end. Thanks for your call. Bonnie, just trying to squeeze some people in here. Bonnie, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a bit of advice. In March, I have a $48,000 principal mortgage. In this past March, when interest rates were going down, I changed my mortgage, and I've got a 3.05% right now.
Now, is that fixed for 5 years or variable or what?
It's variable open.
Okay.
For five. Can it be open for five? Anyway, I'm just wondering now when I figure that the rates are going to stay that way possibly for another year, or should I lock in at 3.5, or should I just stay where I'm at? And because when the rates go up, there is not the penalty that there is when the rates go down, correct, or when you change?
Well, first of all, can I clarify, you said 3.5% on a variable?
3.05.
0.5. So that means you've got basically prime plus 0.8% because you're getting an open mortgage. And, you know, this is a really good topic when you get variables. Variables can be closed or open.
Yes,
and
open.
What you've done is you've left yourself open, which means you can pay that off at any time. You can do any lump sum payment at any time,
right.
And you've got that because you have that luxury. You don't have to pay a penalty on it. However, you're paying a premium for that privilege. You could get today. You could go to that bank, the same lender, and say, "Give me a prime rate as a closed mortgage," and you could immediately drop your payments and keep it variable. Yeah, today, but I guess the big question is, with a $48,000 balance, what is the likelihood you're going to pay that $48,000 off in the next year?
Not likely at all.
Would you likely carry that mortgage for the next 5 years?
Yes, I will.
Then listen carefully, there's absolutely no reason for you to have an open mortgage and be paying a premium for that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
Because well, what it is you're getting an extra privilege, Bonnie, and they're charging you for it. So Peter's saying you're getting an extra privilege that you're not going to take advantage of.
I see.
And so why would you pay for it?
Open?
That's the open part of your variable.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And Bonnie, it's one of the most confusing things. People confuse variable with open all the time. The confusion is that there are two types of variables. One is open, one is closed.
That's
the
right.
Open one, you pay a premium for, which you are. If you went to your bank today and simply asked for it to be a closed variable, you should actually get prime minus 0.1, and I would suggest you do that, which would immediately bring your rate from 3.05 down to 2.15. And then again, if you keep your payments at the same rate, don't drop your payments. Assuming your budget's handling what you got right now, keep your payments the same and accelerate your debt reduction and pay off that mortgage faster.
Okay, thanks, Bonnie.
That's what I did the first time.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. Just go and check that one out. I've got to be real quick here, Peter. Betty, go ahead, please.
I've got right now we're in a 4.5 mortgage, and I've got a current rate that we're just about to go into, a 5 year for 3.85. We are hoping within the next five years to pay it off. So I don't know whether to stay to go at a variable rate at 2.25 minus whatever, or lock in at the 3.85 and be sure because in a couple of years maybe the rates could go up. I don't know.
How certain are you of your ability to pay that off in 5 years?
Pretty sure.
Is it a low mortgage? Are you talking about the opportunity to do lump sum payments?
I think our mortgage is at about $130,000.
Right. So you're accelerating the debt reduction with lump sum payments?
Yeah, we're doing things like my job situation changed. I'm able to put more on the lump sum. Like last year, we put $18,000 down. This year, so far, I've done $12,000. I'll probably do maybe another $5,000 before the end of the year.
Okay, here's my quick answer. If you are absolutely confident of your ability to do lump sum payments, then taking a variable rate mortgage today, with the fact that, you know, we talked about earlier, the Canadian dollar is going to keep it suppressed for at least another year, you can take advantage of that additional 1.5% discount for all intents and purposes. Because you're accelerating your debt, and you're comfortable in your job situation, that additional discount on the mortgage by taking the variable will accelerate your ability to accomplish your goal. However, if your job is a little iffy and that could change and that concerns you, then 3.85 is an absolutely fantastic five-year rate, and I'd keep it.
There you go. So thanks, Betty. So, again, it depends on your estimation of how fast you can pay it off. If you're going to in the next five or get very close to it, then the variable rate allows you to pay more principal every month, every year. Peter, I want to thank you for taking the time. As always, a great visit, and I'll see you in Toronto.
Yeah, well, I will see you in about a week or so.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Peter Kinch, of course, is with the Dominion Lending Services. I'll take a break. I'll come back.